Well, good morning, church. It's great to be with you, and a warm welcome to you if you're with us for the first time today. We love having new people come to visit us, especially as we get into our series, keep going with our series on work, which is a topic that's relevant to everyone, whether you're Christian or not. It's great that you're here today, that you hear our series. Thank God it's Monday. So we are thinking about work today. We're thinking particularly about calling, and something that people say to me sometimes, they come up to me and they say things like this: it's great, hey Iggy, it's great that you found your true calling. It's great you found your calling. And what they're really saying when people say that is something along the lines, it's great you found that one thing that you're supposed to be doing with your life, right? You found that particular purpose, you found where you're supposed to be, it's fantastic that you found that. Now, I wonder for you, as you had that discussion, whether you've met anyone like that, or maybe for yourself, whether you thought to yourself, I've actually found my calling. I've found what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And maybe you think that because, you know, you really enjoy what you're doing. You know, as you do your work or whatever you're doing in life, as you do that, you found that it's something that's refreshing for you. It energizes you. It's something that you enjoy, and it's something that you're actually really good at. This surely, and you think to yourself, I could do this all day. This is what I was made for. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Or maybe on the flip side, you're thinking to yourself, well, I wish I had found my calling. I'm definitely not living out my calling. Work feels like a grind. You know, what you're doing in life is really difficult right now. And you think to yourself, if only I could find my calling. If only I could really discern what I'm supposed to be doing, then everything would be okay. Well, friends, I've got good news for you, because today I've got a guarantee for you. I've got a guarantee for you that I'm going to help you find your calling. I'm going to help you find your calling. I'm going to help you live out your calling. But I want you to keep an open mind, because it might not be what you expect or might not be what you particularly want. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to get stuck into it. And our first point, keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at that passage in depth a little bit later, but we've got a few passages to skim through as well as we think about the idea of calling in a bigger way. And our first, And our first point is getting calling right. We need to actually start with understanding how the Bible talks about calling, about God's call for us. There are two main categories. Let's look at the first one. There's a bunch of verses that'll come up on the screen that I'll read out for you, okay? Let me start, 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Just note the word called here. And so as we think about what it means. 1 Corinthians 1, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 1, 6, and you also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 8, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Now, if you have a look at those verses, what is this calling talking about? God's calling for us. Yeah? Well, it becomes quite clear, doesn't it? It's talking about a calling to salvation, called into fellowship with Jesus, called to belong to Jesus Christ, called to a new hope, called to be justified, called to be glorified. Here's what we have to understand, actually, as we think about calling. When the Bible talks about calling, predominantly it's about his calling to salvation. More often than not, when you find a passage about God's call for us, it's about salvation, his plan to save his people, to bring them into a new relationship, a new hope. He calls his people to him. And if it's not talking about that, it's probably talking about the second category. Let's have a look at the next set of verses coming up on the screen. 1 Peter 2, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Ephesians 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Thessalonians 4, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Galatians 5, 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but to not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. What's it talking about here? Well, the second big category is God's calling to live a holy life. It's tightly linked to salvation, of course. You're called to be saved, and then you're called to live out that salvation in all that you do. If you've been called to belong to Jesus Christ, then of course you're called to live with Jesus Christ as your King, to live in a way that reflects this. The verses say this: you're called to do good and be willing to suffer for it. You're called to be humble, gentle, patient, called to live a pure life, called to serve one another humbly in peace. This is what God has called you to if you're a Christian. This is what He's called you to. You are called to be holy. Now, this is important as we just pause, you know, to think about this. This shows us something about God's heart. This shows us what really matters to Him. Far above His concerns for us, or far above our concerns for ourselves to find the one true, perfect job that God has installed for us, God's primary concern is this: that we come to salvation in Jesus Christ and we live with Jesus Christ, our King. That's what He cares about the most. This is overwhelmingly His calling for us. This is what really matters to Him. This is what His calling is about. But often we don't think of things like that when we think about calling. So why do we get it wrong? Well, it's often because we just haven't, we misapply scriptures sometimes. I'll give you an example. Romans 1:1 says this, and these sorts of verses come up quite often. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And we see here a description of God's special appointment of the Apostle Paul as God's chosen messenger. And we think that likewise, God must have a special calling for me as well, one grand purpose that I have to discover. I need to find it. But what we need to realize is that these passages are very specific to specific people at a specific time in history. I'm sorry to disappoint. We aren't the Apostle Paul. We aren't Moses. We aren't the prophet Jeremiah, those people who were called in the scriptures. And unless we are expecting Jesus Christ to appear to each and every one of us on the road to Damascus and blind us in with His glory and then explicitly give us this job, I don't think we can make a one-to-one comparison to these people. This is not what this passage actually is here for. So what's this mean for us? Does this mean that we don't need to worry about finding our calling? Does God actually have a plan for each one of us? Does He actually care? Maybe He only calls people to do spiritual things, like the prophets or maybe pastors. That's when calling comes into play, special calling. Maybe it's just up to us to determine our own fate. Well, not so fast. There's one more vital passage to look at, and that's the passage we read before. And I want to show you. Point two is this: God's calling for you. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 7. And note the use of the word calling here, okay? Note the use of the word calling. So you can have a look at it in the Bible, in your Bibles that you got in front of you, or I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Note when the word calling or called is used. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's command is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who is free when called is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, in these passage, if you notice in this passage, the word calling or called appears multiple times, 8 times in fact. 7 times it refers to God's calling to salvation that we talked about before. Example in verse 22, the example: for the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. This is talking about that calling to faith, calling to salvation. And 7 times, this is how it's used. But there's one different usage in verse 17. Verse 17, look at this. It says this: "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them." And here is the one place, actually, in scriptures, we see God's calling for a special role for us. This is exciting. You know, this is what we're thinking about, right? Like, God's actually got a special role for us. So what does it say? Well, verse 17, it says this: it's whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. Whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. Which means this: if you came to me after the service and you said to me, "Well, you said, Iggy, you promised that you'd tell me what my calling was, right? What is it? Tell it to me. What's God's calling for my life?" I'd be confident in giving you the answer. And I'd say this to you: it's wherever you are right now. Wherever you are right now. Friends, we need to understand this. Your calling is not just one big thing that defines your life. Your calling is the entire set of life circumstances that God has given you right now. That's your calling. Your calling is not just one big thing that defines your life. Your calling is every set of life circumstances that God has given you right now. And this is completely different to what we usually think. It's completely different. And when we think like this, there's other surprising implications that come out of this. This means, firstly, that your calling can change. Did you realize that? Your calling can change. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21 says this: "Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so." In ancient times, many people, they entered into voluntarily to pay off debt. That was their jobs, you know, that's what they did. And if a person is a slave, they're to live a life, this is what the scriptures say, they're to live out that life well, in holiness, recognizing that God has called them to this particular circumstance assigned to them. This is their calling. But the scriptures tell us here, but if an opportunity arises to gain freedom, that they can. They shouldn't say, "God's called me to be a slave. You know, that's my calling. I'm never going to change this." They can grab that opportunity. They can change their circumstances. That too is a good thing. This too is God's calling. Our calling changes all the time. Do you want to know what God's calling is for you? Then all you have to do is look around. Look around. Look at all the responsibilities, the opportunities, the duties, the circumstances God has placed in your life. All of this is His calling for you. This is what He's called you to. Friends, remember this. Where you are right now in your life, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. Whether you are single or married, whether you have kids or no kids, whether you're a student or you're a worker, whether you're a plumber or a lawyer, a pharmacist or a mechanic, whatever it is, this is God's calling for you. The entire set of life circumstances you have right now has been assigned specifically by God for you. And when those circumstances change, guess what? That's God's calling for you as well. Sebastian Traeger and Greg Gilbert, they've written a great book called The Gospel at Work, and they sum up this idea like this. I think they sum it up really well. It's coming up on the screen. If you're looking for that one big thing to name as your calling, or if you think you've already found it, you're adopting an idea that the Bible never uses. Calling is not one thing in your life. It's everything in your life at any given moment. Friends, this is really vital to get. If you don't understand calling the way the Bible uses it, then actually it's very dangerous. It puts us in great danger of either idolatry or, on the flip side, idleness. So idolatry or idleness. Think about it. If you think that calling is just one big thing for your life, you actually have an excuse to idolize whatever job you have if you love it, and then neglect all your other responsibilities. For example, if you think God's calling you to be the best specialist doctor or investment banker in Australia, then it's valid for you actually to give your entire life to that and neglect all your other responsibilities. Neglect your family, your church community, your friends. In fact, everything else can be sidelined, because after all, if this is what God wants you to do, right? If God wants you to do it, you can just pursue that, and that's good and right. And just as a side note, isn't it interesting how it always seems to be the high-paying, high-status jobs that God seems to be calling us to? Isn't that interesting? I haven't heard anyone say, "God's I really feel God's calling me to be a cleaner. This is my life purpose. I'm going to give my life to that. It seems we have a very upper class Holy Spirit. My old pastor used to say that a lot. I think such a good line. If you misunderstand calling, the danger of idolatry is very, very real. The flip side is this: if you are doing a job that you don't feel called to, you have an excuse to be lazy in it, don't you? You can do it half-heartedly. You don't worry about your responsibilities because, hey, this isn't God's true calling for me anyway. This is just a placeholder. It doesn't really matter very much. The danger of idleness is very real as well. But when you get calling right, when you really understand what it means to understand God's calling for us, it changes everything. Traeger and Gilbert, in their book, they give a few implications which are so good. I'm just going to shamelessly summarize them for you now. First, the first one is this. Implication is this: we are to take our work seriously. This means this: instead of just doing the bare minimum in your current job, you'll recognize that at least for now, this job is precisely what God has assigned to you, precisely what He wants you to be doing. Whether it's studying, taking care of your children, balancing accounts, whatever it is, this is an assignment from the throne room of God Himself for you. This isn't an accident, right? Take it seriously. Engage with it with energy, with faithfulness. Don't see it as some meaningless thing. God's actually put you there for a purpose, given you that circumstance for a purpose. So take your work seriously. And this is still the case, even when it's hard. It's a challenge. It's not an accident that you're there for this season of life. Secondly, we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged knowing that God has a good plan for us. You don't have to be discouraged wondering if you'll ever find your true calling, your true purpose. Or maybe you're a bit further on in your career, your life, and you think, maybe I missed it. Maybe there was this opportunity that I should have taken that I didn't. Guess what? You're exactly where God wants you to be. Exactly where God wants you to be. Of course, this might change next week. This might change next year. But be encouraged knowing that God doesn't make mistakes. He's sovereign over your life, and He's put you where you are for a reason. So serve Him well. Yeah, you don't have to be discouraged there. Be encouraged. Thirdly, we don't have to feel trapped. There's great freedom here when we actually understand calling. There's great freedom knowing that, firstly, that God changes our assignments that He gives you, that He actually changes those things, that we don't have to feel trapped. For example, in a job we're struggling with because we think to change would be against God's calling for us, that maybe this is God's calling, I've got to stay here and I can't do anything. No, your calling can change. Life happens in seasons. God often changes our assignments. New opportunities will arise. New responsibilities will come into our lives, and we can take hold of these things, thankful to God that He has a good plan for us. So you don't have to feel trapped in that way. And another thing that we don't have to feel trapped by is actually trying to decide on whether, we get paralyzed on whether we are doing God's calling or not, or whether this is exactly what God wants me to do. And maybe if I choose this job instead of this job, then maybe I'm going against God's calling. And guys, don't worry, God's sovereign. He's bigger than that. Your decision isn't going to stuff up His big plan for your life, your life. That He's got for you, okay? So you don't have to feel trapped by that, paralyzed by that decision making. God is in control. All of this comes back down to His sovereignty. In the end, friends, some of you might come, you might go, oh, that's a bit disappointing. I want to find that one true big calling that God's given to us. But this is incredibly freeing. It's so freeing when you actually think about it. What a relief knowing that we don't have to spend our lives finding that one big thing that we've been called to. Just wondering, oh, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? How comforting is it to know that we don't have to live in fear that we might be doing the wrong thing in our life, wasting our life, or maybe that we'll never actually find our calling? How comforting is it that doesn't have to be our reality? How good is it that God has a plan for each one of us and He cares for us? And whatever life circumstances we are in, He has put us there for a reason, even when they are hard. This is incredibly freeing, actually, when we understand calling like God has given us in His scriptures. It frees us. It frees us to take hold boldly of whatever responsibilities, whatever's in front of us, whatever circumstances are in our lives right now, we can grab those responsibilities, do them to the best of our abilities for God's glory, do them wholeheartedly, thankful to God, honoring Him for that right now. But there is one practical question that remains as we think about calling. It's the third point. How do I find the right job? How do I find the right job? Now, if you've been listening closely, you'll understand this, that there is no one right job. Just like there is, by the way, this is not in my script, I just thought about it. There is no one right partner, okay? You don't have to spend your life finding the one, okay, as well. This is, the same principles apply, so you can apply it to that as well. It's very freeing, actually, to think about that, that there is no one particular right job. But there is a reality that we still have to make real significant decisions about our life trajectory. We still have to make it, we have to decide. You know, we have to decide this. What degree should I study in uni? Some of the high schoolers, you know, they've got to think about this stuff. Their parents are telling them to do stuff. I mean, parents will never tell you what to study. I know, that's fine. You know, you got to decide. What degree should I study in uni? When you're in uni, you start thinking, should I change course? I don't really like this course. Should I change to this? Should I keep going with this? When you're working, when do I know if this job is a good fit or not? Whether this is supposed to be what I should do? How many days a week should I work? Should I be a stay-at-home mom? Should I go back to paid work? Should I enter full-time ministry? These are all real choices that you have to still make in life. And if God doesn't have one specific calling for my life, does it even matter? Just do whatever. Really, what we're talking about here is a question of guidance. I don't know about you, but I've definitely had moments in my life where I wanted God to just show me a sign about what I should do. Has anyone had those moments in life? I remember when I was thinking about full-time ministry, I remember praying next to my bed. I said, God, just show me a sign. Show me something. I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I would have taken anything, I think. If something fell off the wall, I would be like, yep, that's it. I would have taken that. I had a friend, actually, who said that if God helped him at one point he lost his mum, like his elderly mum, like in a crowd, and he actually said, God, if you help me find my mum, then I'll go into full-time ministry. And God helped him find his mum, but he's still not in ministry, not yet. Yeah, so I'm still holding him to that, yeah. We just want God to help us make a good decision, right? That's a natural good desire. You know, if you're a Christian, that's a natural good desire. If you're not a Christian, you still want that, right? You want to make good decisions, yeah? Well, let me show you, the one thing that we really have to take into account is God's will for your life. I can't tell you exactly what He wants, but I can tell you what He desires broadly for your life. And it's in Colossians 3:23, which is a key verse about work, just generally. I just wanted to think about this for a little while. And this verse is this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Here's the truth that will guide your decisions when you're thinking about what you do with your life. Every single one of your decisions, all right? Here's the big truth. It's this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Son of God has gone to the cross, sacrificed Himself for our sins so that we may be forgiven. And He has risen again to give us new life. And as He rises again in victory over sin and death. As He resurrects from the grave, do you know what He says? He says this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So as we think about decision-making, what are we to do? We're to behold the risen King of all creation, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to think, how can we honor Him in what we do? Jesus is the King, and this reality is what changes everything. Everything. Some of you here in this room haven't yet bowed your knee and pledged allegiance to Jesus, your King yet. If that's you, we're so glad you're here. We love that you're here hearing about who He is. Please, we'd love to help you. You can fill in a Connect card, put it in the blue mailbox up the back. You can have a chat to myself. Let us know how we can help you with that. But for those of us who are here who are Christians, our call is to remember this, that whatever we do, it is the Lord Christ we are serving. Whatever we do, it is the Lord Christ we are serving. And this is actually the biggest thing that shapes our decision making. Let me tell you, we have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of freedom to decide on what our lives look like. We do. To pursue our, you can pursue your passions. You can live out your giftings. These are good things. Or you can purposely choose not to do those things as well. That's also a good thing to do, that you have a lot of freedom to actually choose. But the one overriding thing that shapes our decision-making is that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That's it. That's the big thing. Here's what that means for us. A few implications. Don't pick a job that will cause you to disobey Jesus, okay? Drug dealing, prostitution, these things definitely off the table, okay? Very clear, right? I don't think I have to even tell you those things, but there's other work that maybe puts you into situations where ethically you have to do things that are against your Christian convictions, if you're a Christian. Maybe that's your boss asking you to do some dodgy things with taxes or accounts. Maybe it's medical decisions you have to make that you feel are just unethical. They're not right. It isn't what God would want you to do. Friends, it's not worth disobeying your king to pick up a paycheck, okay? This really matters. The second thing, implication, God cares more about how you do things over what you do. He cares more about how you do things over what you do. We spend a lot of our lives paralyzed by this decision. What are we going to do with our life? What's that one thing that I should be doing? You know what? God cares so much more about how you do that thing rather than the specifics of what job you're doing. Remember, his primary calling for us, can you remember it? It's to salvation and holiness. That's his primary thing. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So you don't have to worry about finding the one perfect career. Find a job. Do it with integrity, humility, serving those around you, commending the gospel in your words and actions. And that's a wonderful thing that brings your Lord much glory. And as we do this, we can ask how our decision will impact our fruitfulness, our faithfulness, and idolatry. Zeke helpfully helped us think about this framework, the other week when we talked about balance in our life, Well, let me work through a real example with you. I just picked a career that sounds hard, okay? Should I become a cardiac surgeon? Is anyone a cardiac surgeon? Is that a thing even? Is that right, doctors? Yes, my wife is nodding. It is a thing. Should I become a cardiac surgeon? It sounds hard. This is not a decision that happens in isolation, is it? Right? This decision impacts all of your life and every responsibility in your life. Ask yourself, if you do it, were you able to be faithful in all aspects of your life that God has called you to? Will the cost of the time spent studying, the stress of exams, the long hours of work, the night shifts mean that you can't actually fulfill your responsibilities as a son, daughter, father, mother, husband, wife, brother or sister in Christ, friend, a volunteer, a servant in the church, whatever? Remember, your calling is all of life's responsibility God's given you. This is how you live a life that honors Jesus Christ. And at this point, you need to actually stop. And you actually have to think about your gifting as well, how God has made you. We all know this. We're all made differently. Some people, you know these people, some people can pass exams with minimal study, they don't stress, and they're extremely competent at everything that they do. Yes, we all hate those people. How do they do it, But others will need to sacrifice every relationship, commitment, and responsibility on their way to specializing just to pass those exams. So let me tell you, the decision to do this job or not would be very different for those two people, won't it? Very different. Because for one, they won't be able to be faithful in all God has called them to do. For the other, they can. You see? Faithfulness is really important. Then the next step to ask is this: will this role enable me to be more fruitful for the kingdom? Will I have time and opportunities as I work in this field to keep heart investing more deeply in the work of the Lord? Or am I barely having enough hours in the week to just survive life, right? And lastly, and this takes a lot of honesty, is asking yourself this question: how much do I want to do this job because this is what I think would honor God? And how much do I want to do this job because this is what I think would be honoring to me? Is this because I want this job or because this is what I think God wants for me? Friends, God cares about the heart. Ultimately, the job, it's almost a side point in one sense. If you love a job too much, it can easily become an idol. your source of satisfaction and joy instead of your God, that's when it becomes very dangerous. So friends, whether you're choosing a new career, whether you're choosing to change jobs or to stop working or reduce your work to spend more time with kids, whatever decision you're making, ask how this will help my faithfulness, my fruitfulness, and keep me away from idolatry. Let me boil it down for you. I'll make it super simple for you guys, okay? Really simple. There's only one thing you have to do. In all that you do, you just need to ask one question. This is for all of your life. You ready? It's this question. Does this honor Jesus? Does this honor Jesus? I wonder, how often have you asked that question? How often do you ask that question? If you live your life asking this question, let me tell you, it will change your life completely. It will transform it. Friends, we are privileged, so privileged. We are in a society where we get to choose. A lot of people don't get to live out their desires. They don't get to exercise their gifts. Imagine, think about this. Imagine how many potential Olympians, how many potential gifted doctors or lawyers there are in poverty-stricken slums all around our world. They never get a chance to find this out because they just don't have the opportunity to. It's not just about your passions. It's not just about your giftings. Yeah. It's okay to not live out your gifts, your passions completely, because God is greatly pleased wherever you are, whatever you're doing, as long as you're seeking to serve Jesus Christ in all of your life. Just like he's pleased with those people in the poverty-stricken slums that are trying to live their life faithfully for him. Free yourself, friends, today from a wrong understanding of calling so you can step out boldly, knowing Jesus is your boss, serving Jesus as your king in whatever you do. And as you do that, be confident. Know this, you are living out your calling and you're bringing him great glory. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ has died and risen again to give us new life, to bring us into a new hope, and that changes everything. May we live our life not paralyzed by trying to find the one big true thing that you want us to be doing, but that whatever we're doing, wherever we are, wherever you've put us, that we may just do that, asking ourselves, does this honor Jesus Christ? And if we are choosing that decision to honor him, may we go forth in great comfort and reassurance, knowing that you are greatly pleased and this brings you great glory. So help us, Lord, to not make decisions based on ourselves, but based on you, because you are our God and you are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, why don't you take a minute to reflect on the scriptures we just heard? Take a minute. Maybe you want to pray a little prayer in your heart to ask God to help you make decisions for Jesus Christ, your King, as the one big thing that you do.